Going to talk about House of Peace. House of Peace. Hope in short. Let's read some scripture. If you help me with the vibration, that would be helpful. Let's read some scripture from Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 43. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 43. You're getting there. Keep telling them. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders, miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Amen. Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 souls were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled in awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Now, this is church being described to you. Jesus Christ has resurrected into the heavens. He's been here like Christmas, we are talking about. And he'll be talking about Easter. But he's in heaven. And then he poured out his Holy Spirit upon his people. And the outpouring of his Holy Spirit was a supernatural encounter. Was something that they hadn't experienced before. Something that affected who they were. How they prayed. And how they presented the gospel. Something miraculous happened. Something extraordinary happened. Something powerful happened. Something with spiritual energy happened. And that was supernatural. And that is the faith that you and me are called into. Sometimes we go to church as a religious practice because we've been born into it. We don't expect anything to happen. Because we try to do that by separating ourselves. We are Baptists. We are strict Baptists. We are open Baptists. We are evangelical Baptists. We are Pentecostal Baptists. We are Anglicans. We are Romans. We are Methodists. We are this. We are this. We use these separations just to prevent us or to blind us from actually homing into what church is about. Are you with me so far? Because if we're able to say, this is us. But what does the Bible say about us and them? It's not us and them. It's about what scripture says, because the same God that we worship, isn't it? I believe the same God that we Baptists worship, the same God that the Anglicans worship, Catholics worship, right? And many other, variants of the Christian faith worship. So, if that is the case, let us be scriptural here. So when the Holy Spirit came upon Peter and the apostles, and then some other 108 people, so 120 people in the upper room, the Bible said they were praying. And whilst they were, before they were praying, Jesus Christ told them, that, look, you've been with me, you've seen me do all these things that I'm going to talk about. They saw Jesus Christ do miracles. They saw him raise the dead. They saw him heal the sick. They saw him, cast out spirits, unclean spirits. They saw him deliver people. They saw him provide food for people to eat when they were hungry. He told them stories about life. And he also preached to people and said, look, it is not right to live, the wrong way according to scripture, or to live, in sin. Because there's got to be standards that we have to live by. Even in this country, we have standards. We have laws, don't we? So we have to obey them. When you obey them, it's for your good. Not to cut you out. If you're obeying it, it helps you to bring order and transparency. So he said, you've seen me do all these things. But before you go on to do any further, I want you to wait for the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he will endure you with power. He will fill you with power. The ability to be able to reach out to people who are in trouble. Because when somebody is set in his or her ways, it's not easy for you to just go and talk to the person for the person to turn around. If somebody's at the point of suicide, you need some special skills to be able to talk that person out. But he said, I will send you out and be able to do all these things. You're going to be the counselor. You're going to be the person who's going to help this person here and there. You're going to make sure that everybody is actually together and focusing on God so that the enemy will not mess them up. That's what Jesus Christ said. So when these people accepted the message, they got baptized. They identified with the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus Christ. And that is where our authority comes as the Christians. When you've identified yourself that Jesus Christ died, he took your sins upon himself. He took all the curses that is upon you. He took all the diseases and sicknesses that will come upon you. He took everything that is negative that will be upon your life to put on him so that you will come out with victory. You understand that? That is what the resurrection is about. The resurrection is about overcoming death. That even if you were physically to die one day, you'll be resurrected. That is what 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us. That we shall not all die, but one day there will be a trumpet shout in the heavens, and those who are in Christ, that means those who are walking with Jesus Christ, then they will also rise. And he said, we shall see our loved ones with our own eyes. The people that have gone out of our lives, that our hearts are so broken. Some of us every year say, we shall see them. What a joy will it be when there's no more sickness, when there's no more diseases. I mean, where will cancer be? The Bible said, where will cancer be? It didn't mention the name cancer, but said, death, where's your victory? Because some people die because of diseases and illness. Some die because of brokenness. Some die because of neglect. Some die because of people just making their life miserable. Some die probably before their time. But Jesus says, at that time, there will be no more these things. This is a message of encouragement to us all, isn't it? This is a powerful message. So for that reason, he said, wait, so that you'll be endowed with the Holy Spirit to be able to do these things. And when the Holy Spirit come upon you, it will change your perspective about God. That's why in this church, we want to begin to look at God with a different eye. I mean, some of you have known me for several years here. Some of you have been here for 10 years or longer. And I just want you to know that we've done amazing things in this church. But God is moving here in a way that I haven't seen before. I've read it in the church minutes hundreds of years back. But I'm seeing it in my time. Where God is able to heal people. Where God is able to, use ordinary men and women to lay their hands on the sick and they get instant healing. That can be medically verified. Where people lay their hands on those who are possessed with devils and the devils leave them and they are okay. People who have been oppressed for several years, depressed for several years, and we lay our hands and they are okay. Isn't this amazing? And this is what God is doing in this church. And I want to encourage you. So going forward, I just want to, thank you, ma'am. Going forward, I just want to encourage you that we just celebrated Christmas and most Christians and people would have sung or heard or read from Matthew chapter 1 verse 23, which reads like this. Behold, the virgin shall be with a child and bear a son and will give birth to a son and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Amen? Is that a statement that you've heard this Christmas time? Or you read? Or somebody has preached to you? We all have heard that. We've sung it too. You see, God always wants to be in the midst of his people. That is his agenda. He always wants, he created us so that he will be with us. And the main purpose for God to put Adam and Eve in the garden is for him to be with them. And that hasn't changed. For that reason, when you go away from God, God relentlessly pursues you for that relationship. When he knows that you are far from God, that your heart is not connecting with him in praying to seek his face and sitting down to meditate and reflecting to hear his voice. When he knows that you are not reading the scripture to know what he says about your life and your future and that of your family, you are far from God. That means you are backsliding. You're going back from God's original agenda. So God is saying, come back, come back. come back. So we said a Christmas, meaning God is with us, Emmanuel. So this is the time that God wants to be his people again, to remind us. So every year we have at least, if nothing at all, one opportunity for God to remind us that he wants to be with us. If you don't hear it at all, that's an opportunity like this that God wants to be with you. You know how, I mean, do you realize how peaceful it is during Christmas in our country? And probably many countries as well. Yes or no? Surely it was so quiet on my streets as if no car existed in the country. Everybody in their home. And I had a fantastic Christmas. It was incredible, so peaceful. And just a family. It was amazing. And I thank God for that. People say Christmas is for the children, but thank God there's no children in my house. So why can't I have Christmas? You see, when somebody says that, you know that person is already far from God, doesn't know God, when they say Christmas is for children. Christmas is an opportunity to remind us that God is with us. Emmanuel is with us. So right where you are, so that you can behold and encounter him, this starts right in your homes. Are you with me? God is with us. It starts right in your home. We want you to move away from the abstract of our thinking of who Emmanuel is and embrace the reality of what it means to have God with us. Today we are going to talk about God, our Father, coming home. God is coming home. Starting now, in this coming year, we want to say God is coming home. So if God is not in your home, then you're missing out something big. God is coming home. And that's what we call House of Peace. HOP for short, H-O-P. It's our church's new style weekly small groups that will meet in homes. And it's open to anyone and everyone. House of Peace is a vital part of the vision of this church and our ministry going forward. It comes from the heart of our God, our Heavenly Father. The Lord Jesus Christ loves every soul and does not want any to perish. That's what 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says. It says God loves us to the extent that he doesn't want any soul to perish. You think God is interested in depression, oppression, stress? He's not. Really. He didn't create us with illness. He didn't create us with the view that you come to suffer. Please get it right. Some people believe that if you are suffering, that means you are very spiritual or God is with you. God is not with you. It doesn't mean that God has neglected you. I just want you to understand. I'm making the argument that these things does not originate by God, because that is why people sometimes don't even want to know God. They say, oh, if there is a God, how come everybody is suffering? But then God did not intend for anybody to suffer. God's plan is being thwarted, is being destroyed, is being misrepresented. That's the reason why we have to start this year with prayer and fasting, so that we can see God up close and personal. House of Peace, our church responds to the Lord's command to go and preach the gospel to our family members, neighbors, friends, and work colleagues who don't know Jesus Christ. It will be a place for our church community to also attend regularly and learn and be activated. That means to be drawn to God in power and in the spirit of the Holy God. We see from scripture that church was born for a purpose. Church did not come out for no apparent reason, but for a purpose. The Greek word calls it ecclesia, which means a gathering or assembly of people for a holy convocation. Big word, I will explain. For a holy convocation. That means a gathering of people for a sacred, for a solemn, and a special spiritual purpose. So the church, ecclesia, is for a sacred purpose. That's for a holy purpose. It's for a special spiritual purpose. It's for a solemn purpose. So when you gather and there's not a holy convocation, that means there's not a solemn agreement and there's no special spiritual purpose, and you just come and sing hymns and you go back, you come and hear me scream or somebody scream and go back and nothing happens, you haven't come to church. That means when you come and you have a burden and you have a prayer and you haven't prayed about it, and then you don't feel that God has entered into your, you haven't given somebody a chance to pray with you where you cannot pray for yourself, then I just want you to understand that you haven't gone to church. That's not ecclesia. Ecclesia is something is happening place. And here we say we are in a something is happening church. So when you come, something must happen to you. Amen. Sometimes we are loud. Sometimes we scream. Sometimes we are nice, quiet. Amen. Amen. And sometimes there's some demonic manifestations. Sometimes people cry. Sometimes people even weep. And that is normal. Because that's what normal people do. But sometimes you go to church and it's like, you can't even cry. That's no serious. We got to be ourselves. So, what am I saying? Because in Exodus chapter 12, verse 16, it says, look, you have to gather unto me as a holy convocation, as a holy gathering. So, if people therefore gather and none of the above is happening, then that is not church, which the Bible talks about. Something has to happen for us to experience God, for us to encounter God, for us to see the demonstration of who God is, so that we know that God is with us. Because if you take Christmas seriously, when Jesus Christ was announced that now his name is Emmanuel, he's going to be born, guess what? There was angelic visitation. And that was not a common thing, was it? Hello? I want you to picture it. That suddenly you're a shepherd, or suddenly in your workplace, suddenly you see a bomb, big flashlight, and some huge personalities appear. And they said, do not be afraid. I'll be scared. That is why they said, don't be afraid, because they saw fear in them. It's not a normal occurrence. That is why we say it is supernatural. So begin to see that in that sense, that something extraordinary, out of the ordinary, is happening on that day when it was announced. Fast forward from the shepherds. And then Mary, the mother of Jesus, she's there, she's engaged to be married. But then she hasn't known a man. And then suddenly, an angel appeared. That is not normal. That is supernatural. Because an angel, as people know, they represent God, and God is spirit. So something extraordinary, something that sometimes will make your whole body shake, in either fear or in anxiety, or something just comes upon you. You have some tinglings in your body. Suddenly, you see this, and somebody standing in your face. And say, you're going to have a baby. And that baby, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. And Mary is a godly person, was a godly person, and therefore she knew about the Holy Spirit, that is the presence of God. Since the presence of God will overshadow you, and you have a baby, and that baby is born of God, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. Or put it another way, he'll be called Jesus Christ, because he'll be the Savior of his people from their sins. These are supernatural occurrences. And think about it again. Suddenly, fast forward 2 years on, and then suddenly there were some people who were astronomers, who were priests, who came from royalty, people who were educated, who were medicine people or medical people, who read the stars, and suddenly they saw a comet in the sky. And the brightness of it and the position of it pointed into somebody in exaltation. That means somebody is going to be born who is big, who is going to influence the course of history. And therefore, they decided we have to go because that person is bigger than us. We need to go and see that person wherever the person is born. And as they were going, the star was leading them all the way from the east into Bethlehem. This is supernatural. This is not ordinary. So I want to bring your mind to begin to picture Christmas in a different context, that there is something powerful, there is something extraordinary, there is something out of the ordinary, there is something that actually had to begin to cause us to think twice and thinking, is that all that faith is about? Our faith is about something powerful. So they followed it and they came. They were looking for somebody in the palace because that's where kings are. They went to the palace, and he wasn't there. They asked Herod. Herod said, I don't know what you're talking about. I know I'm a pretend fake, king. But if there's another king coming, I'm scared. He didn't tell them that precisely. But his action said, oh, go and find out where he's born so that I too may come and worship him. It was a lie to kill him. Because subsequently, you know what happened from the Bible. Now, when they went, he wasn't in the palace. The reason why he was in the palace, that if Jesus Christ was in the palace, then only the rich and the influential and the powerful could access him. They had to put him in a manger so that the shepherds can access him, so that you can access him, so that anybody from Bethlehem, from Jerusalem, from anybody who comes, whether you are rich or poor, whether you're educated, non-educated, whether you're wise or, you are dumb, whatever it is, I don't know many people who are dumb. But what I just want you to understand, that anybody can access him. Isn't this amazing? The King of Glory born so that you and me can have access to him. So this is the privilege that God has given you, that in the coming year, I want to encourage you as a church that wherever you are, begin to access this Jesus. And when you access him, don't access him in a religious way, but access him with the eyes open to have a supernatural encounter. Is that okay? You got to have a spiritual encounter. This is not talking about Pentecostalism or charismatism or whatever streams of spirituality you are. These are all invented by men. Meaning people invented these divisions. Was never there. I never heard once Jesus Christ talk about Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian. Name them. He never talked about them. I'm not saying they're not good if they're there. If they wasn't, probably some of us would never become a Christian. But I just want you to understand that God wants to open the door for you so that you can also access him. Because I grew up knowing that you cannot go to God directly unless you have to go and talk to the priest. And now I know that actually Jesus Christ came so that as he was born in the manger, I also can access him. This is incredible. Let me come back to the text of my message. So, House of Peace is an extension of the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, and Colossians 1, 18. And he's the savior of the body, which is the church, and he has given us responsibilities. That means he has given us mandate, commission, to go and preach the gospel to all people, make disciples of all nations, and to expand the kingdom of God. That's what Matthew 24, 14 tells us. That's what Matthew 28, 19 tells us. If you don't get a verse, please listen to the preach again, you'll get them. We see again in Scripture that the people who were gathered did not only meet in tabernacles. That is the first Scripture that I read. I mean, those who became saved, God baptized, they devoted themselves. About 3,000 were added to the church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayers. Leave it there for now. We see again that it wasn't only in the temple for holy convocation, but they moved from house to house with sincere hearts in fellowship and praising God. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Let's read verse 46 to 47. Every day, They continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So they continually daily, with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, but they also ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. They moved from house to house. So, we see that not only did they meet in the church building or the synagogue, but they also met in homes. That is why we say in the coming year and for the future, this church is going to meet in the homes. Do you know that 2020 is not only the beginning of a new year, but it's the beginning of a new decade? Do you know that? And one of the things that I would like to remind you, that cast your mind back. How old were you? You don't have to tell me. 10 years ago. Think about what has happened in your life up to this point. And think another decade is coming. 10 years. What will you do with your life? And for us as a church, we want to do something with our lives. House of Peace. House of Peace is a vision for expansion. So let us all, as a church, catch that vision of the kingdom of God. You see, they had 3,000. Now when they moved from the temple and met from home to home, the Lord added to their number. Yes? In fact, when Jesus Christ was coming to this world, I mean, I know scripture, so I have to sometimes throw some at you. Then when you begin to read Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, verse 7, it talks about, it says, of his increase, there shall be no end. He'll be the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father. Of the increase, there shall be no end. And the zeal of the Lord will accomplish it. That God himself, with his power, with his presence, and with his spirit, will make sure that he will usher in the increase in every area of your life. A house of peace is a place where the light, anointing, and supernatural power and presence of God are experienced just as strongly as they are in a local church. Because you saw verse 43 of Acts chapter 2. If you can bring that one out very quickly for me, if possible. It said, everyone was filled with awe. In some translations, they said there was a sense of awe. They sensed awness in the air. And many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Or signs and wonders were done by them. And this was being done in the temple and was being done in the home. What was happening in the church was happening in the home as well. So the Bible said they had favor with all men. That means wherever they went, what was happening in the church was happening in their homes too. Because these were the only two places that they were gathering. They weren't gathering at marketplaces. They were gathering in the temple, the church, and then they were gathering at homes. And God was with them. God came home for them. That supernatural God came to express his presence. So, we are saying that there's going to be a strong experience of God, just as you experience in the local church. Hope is that's an extension of the church in homes, carrying the same pattern of praise and worship, evangelism, miracles, healings of the body, and healings of the soul. That means we're going to pray for people to receive physical healing. We're going to pray for people to receive healing for their souls. Some may be burdened over several years, maybe because they grew up being rejected, abandoned, and nobody even did anything to them, and they haven't even had an opportunity to go through counseling. Counseling sometimes is a very long process. But then when you get inner healing, you are healed one time. Hallelujah. That's why we're here, to help people. And the leaders who are leading these things are being taught. They've gone through so much lessons, and they know what to do, and they will help you. You see, it's not a place to be afraid. It's a place to know that God has come home. Jesus has come to town. That is exactly what House of Peace is about. Effectively, a House of Peace is a place where the community can encounter God by receiving hope, freedom, power, and everlasting peace. The people along your street, they need to encounter God. But you know what? They will not just walk into church so easily, but then they will come to your home for a cup of tea, won't they? Exactly. Your friends, your family, that you want so much to come to faith in Jesus Christ, you invite them to church and they're going to see Pastor Gideon. Well, not really, but they just see it as a huge, monstrous building. They don't want that. But they know you. They come into your home. They'll be happy to be there. And that is where church will function. So the goal of House of Peace is to meet the needs of the people in our homes, in our community, our loved ones, and show them the love of God and guide them to salvation in Jesus Christ. A House of Peace is always a place of blessing. I'll talk about this point. And how many minutes have I got? Okay. I'll make it. House of Peace is a place of many blessings. Jesus was the first to establish a house of peace because he was, and in himself, a tabernacle. That is a dwelling place. A house of worship to the Father. Jesus came from the Father and dwelt among us. Dwelt means D-W-E-L-T, means tabernacled among us. Just like having a tent and living in it. That's tabernacled among us. And once he had started his ministry, he also stepped out of the limitations presented by the synagogues and visited people in their homes, in their own, in their towns, in their gathering places. And I want you to note that not every person will easily walk to a place like this. They've got to be invited to be there. The fact that you have a house of peace in your home doesn't mean that somebody on your road will come. They may hear you sing. They may hear you pray. They may hear you, people coming out of the house so excited and really feel like sticking their swords on the ground because they want some victories there. But they're not going to join you unless you invite them. Is that okay? Are we learning something here? Thank you. So, they will not easily walk into a church or a synagogue, or they will not easily walk into your homes, but you have to invite them. When Jesus sent out the 12 disciples, whom we later called apostles, he also mandated them to preach the gospel, accompanied by signs and wonders, and also to bring his peace upon the household. We take a reading from Matthew chapter 10, verse 7 to 8, and verse 11 to 13. He mandated them. It's as if you've been legally charged or bound or commissioned to do something. That means you are obliged to do something. And he said, as you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. In some cases, it's at hand. That means in your hand, in your home. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, and drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Take it. Oh, no, come on, keep it there. I just want us to think a little bit about this. Bring the verse back again, please. Matthew 10, 7 and 8. As you go, preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You see, now, most of us, or probably nearly all of you, want to go to heaven, right? If you want to go to heaven, now, heaven is not as solemn and quiet all the time like you want it. Imagine having millions of people shouting and praising God at a time. It's got to be some noise. So get used to it. I'm looking at my brother. I was going to call your name, but I wouldn't. That's going to be nice. It's going to be beautiful. There's going to be some chaos sometimes. You know, God is order. We're going to bump into each other sometimes. Some of us are going to be so excited, or some of you are going to be so excited that you wouldn't even care who is next to you because you're so excited. Imagine sometimes your kids pass an exam and I watch them on the telly, the way they jump, they didn't even know that somebody's around. Or somebody has a baby and you see the excitement that comes to their faces. Or you pass an exam, so you get some promotion. or the job that you've been praying so much for, this time it comes, or your investment comes and think, whoa, today I've made a kill. The pound is rising, right? So if you're in business, you can get more for your money, right? Depending upon where you buy your goods from. So coming back to what I'm saying. So I'm just saying that, look, there's going to be some excitement in heavens. And therefore, that if the kingdom of God is at hand, is near us, that means there's going to be something supernatural. There's going to be something powerful. As it is in heaven, so shall it be here. So what was happening in heaven, that is why the shepherds saw what was happening in heaven. That's why Mary saw what was happening in heaven. That's why Joseph heard what is happening in heaven. So what they saw, and Simeon and Anna saw and heard, was what was happening in heaven. So I want you to understand that in heaven there's no more sickness. That's why Jesus Christ said, you go and heal the sick. If sickness is good, he wouldn't say that you should do that, right? You go and raise the dead. Look, some of you have never had somebody die before, but if you know, as I know, it breaks you. Some people go funny as a result of emotional distress of death. At least I know about a few people who have never recovered from the pain of death of a loved ones. Cleanse the lepers. Drive out demons. Demons are not good things. They are persons without bodies. They work on you. They start with your mind. Close it to God. They start with your conscience. That's something which is bad, doesn't sound anything. Your conscience is dead. And you do it now, at the end of the day, it's going to destroy you and you don't even know it. And people do all sorts of things that will harm them. But persons without bodies tells you that there's nothing wrong with that. That's your life. Live it. There are standards that God gave us, and we have to live by those standards. If we live by those standards, we'll be fine. If we move away from it, we are in trouble. So, in House of Peace, we want to do those things that you are looking at. I'm not telling you anything that is not scripture, is it? Are we Christ followers or not? Are we Christians? Christians means you are Christ's follower. You are a disciple of Jesus. So if he's mandated you, say, go, as you go, do this. People say, oh, but it does only those 12. Oh, so they're the only ones who should be Christians. Then why are you bothering yourself? It is for you and me and everyone. So he has mandated us to go to do these things. And in this church, we do all these things. Some of you are worried, oh, your priorities this time, you are casting out demons. If demons are so good, live with them. In the Church of England, some people have been ordained to do this job. That's all their ministry. You saw Reverend West Sutton here, right? He's Church of England minister. Didn't he not tell you? He preached a wonderful message. You can listen to it. About a woman with alabaster box of oil. Powerful stuff. Or issue of blood, I think. The woman with the issue of blood. Powerful stuff. And I want you to go and listen to that. And his ministry within the Church of England is to bring healing to people. And that is what we deal with. So, I said House of Peace is a place of blessing. House of Peace is a place of blessing. And we just want to see that, therefore, it's a place where the Holy Spirit will move constantly, where new people attend weekly, and there are salvations. There are going to be prophetic words. I mean, we're going to hear the voice of God, or we're going to hear a message from God's perspective. There's going to be deliverance. In other words, it is where the supernatural power of God is being demonstrated, which is the seal and mission of our church in the next decade and beyond. We want to see that, and it's going to happen. This is indeed a blessing in every home that will host a House of Peace. A House of Peace, therefore, is a place of tremendous blessings because the presence of God resides in the home that hosts the Ark of God. Let's do one more reading from 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 11 to 12. Say, the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom. the Gittite for 3 months, just 3 months. And the Lord blessed him and his entire household. Verse 12. Now King David was told, the Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of God. So David went down and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. Guess what? The king who once was so scared about the supernatural of God because he saw the power of God and he was so scared, he said, not me again. I don't want this. This is what some people say. I don't want no supernatural thing. I don't want nothing about speaking in tongues. I don't want none of these things because it's so scary. It is not. David said he didn't want nothing to do with it. He said, okay, now the power and the presence of God, I don't want it with me no more. He was the king. He was supposed to be looking after it. So he said, put it in the house of one of the people, the priest, called Obed-Edom. And when he left it in his house, the Bible said his house was blessed. His household and everything about him was blessed. Only for 3 months that the message went to David and said, David, come and see. This guy is hosting the ark of God. He's hosting the presence of God. He's hosting the supernatural power of God. And God is blessing his home and his descendants. David said, hang on a minute. Now I'm going for it. He changed his mind. So I just want some of you to change your mind and begin to embrace the ark of God in your homes. And when you embrace the ark of God in your homes, your house is going to be blessed. Your descendants are going to be blessed. You see, I like reading the scripture because it means everything. I've done that since I was a little boy, as a teenager, and I know it is good. Some people don't want God, but I want God more and more and more. And I've been relatively successful. But I thank God for that because of my association with God. You see, so when the ark of God remained in that house was blessed. When the home and the people are blessed, you bring them to church so that they may, and many will receive more blessings in a big way. So David said, you know what? I see this. Now I don't want only Obed-Edom and his house to be blessed. I want to take them to Jerusalem where everybody can come into the temple so that there's going to be a mega blessing. There's going to be a mega shift in their lives. There's going to be a mega, mega shift in everything that they do. He wanted in a big way. He wanted to be blessed as well. Because in Obed-Edom's house, I mean, not everybody can fit in there. There are about 3 million of them. Bring it to Jerusalem. And the whole year, people can assess that. So in this new year, the first 3 Wednesdays, please get Douglas ready, the ushers. His van is here. So what we're saying right now is that David would not allow the ark to only be in the home. He wanted to be in the church. So the first 3 Wednesdays from 8, 15, and 22nd, we're going to have a mega hop here in this church. Mega house of peace. We're going to experience the power of God. We're going to experience the word of God in a prophetic way. We're going to experience healing. We're going to experience God transform lives. We're going to experience God heal people and save lives. And therefore, I want you to invite your friends, your neighbors. Invite people and say, hey, something good is happening in House of Peace. We'll meet together and we will have House of Peace in this church. And in fact, when you read 1 Chronicles chapter 15, chapter 16, and chapter 26, you will see that the household of Obed-Edom and his descendants were blessed in an immeasurable way. In his house came musicians, songwriters, lead and prophetic worshipers. In his house came treasurers and accountants. In his house came prayer warriors. We call them gatekeepers. In his house came lawyers and many professionals and ordinary people who were sold out for God, who were committed to him, totally committed to him in worshiping God, whether in full-time ministry or holding on to their secular jobs. and so committed to God. I want to bring this message to a conclusion, just to remind you that Jesus expanded his kingdom through the houses of peace. And just a few examples very quickly. Believe the Bible verses I'm giving you because it's true. I've checked it out. Matthew 18, 14 to 15. In the house of Peter, Jesus Christ went and there was healing. In the house of a Pharisee, Luke chapter 7, verse 38. People worship Jesus. So in house of peace, there's going to be worship. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 23 to 25, in the ruler's house, after Jesus entered the ruler's house, he encountered a dead girl and he raised the dead. I place no obligation on you, but I know that you have the ability to raise the dead. You've done it here in this church before. In case I have to remind you, 16th of February, 2008, you raised the dead in this church. That's how easy it is with prayers. So you'll be able to do that again. In Mary and Martha's home, in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42, when Jesus entered the house, he taught them that the priority for man, for any follower of Jesus, is to know him intimately. So there's going to be teaching, there's going to be healing, there's going to be resurrection, there's going to be worshiping, there's going to be teaching, and there's going to be literally pastoral care. People will love you. And of course, there's going to be eating as well. That's the good bit of it, isn't it? If nothing at all, go for the food. But before then, they will have to teach you something. Hey, the apostles did exactly the same. If you read the books of Acts chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 6, chapter 8, chapter 13, chapter 20, among many others, all the 28 chapters, you will see how the apostles did exactly what Jesus Christ did. So in conclusion, I will say this. We have a mission and a mandate to preach the gospel to every creature with a demonstration of God's power to confirm we are an extension of Jesus on earth. We must go where the people are and take the gospel of the kingdom to them in our house of peace and then bring them to church. This year coming, this decade, this January, as we begin 21 days of prayer and fasting with a mega hope, the first three Wednesdays, I can't wait to see you come